This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We cover a plethora of topics around here every weekday, and today, State Representative Court Boyce representing the South Coast and parts of Douglas County in the 1st District. Court, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Kyle, thanks for having me on. Good to talk to your listeners.
So let's talk about legislative days. That was fairly recently. Talk about what took place there.
You know, we had, I feel personally I had five of the most productive days I've had up there, serving on the Ag, Water, Land Use, Natural Resources Committee. Just a lot of issues coming at us. Those are opportunities to bring the metropolitan areas down to understand what we deal with in rural Oregon from our ag, our farmers and ranchers and builders and folks that, live outside of the major cities. And then the other one, of course, emergency management and veterans issues. And so, completing my third year, I feel pretty good about where we're headed, or at least the capacity to just influence folks on the other side and just say, hey, we got to bring Oregon together. It's worth defending. So very determined in that, Kyle.
Now, what are your thoughts on the initiative that apparently has already gotten the signatures it needs to roll back part of the transportation package?
I couldn't be happier. I guess I'd like to say I'm not surprised that the people have really taken a stand here. We have plenty of money in the state of Oregon. It's not a resources coming in problem or funding problem. It is a spending problem. And if you just take Oregon Health Authority, we spend $30 billion in a two-year period, so $15 billion each year. And so, hey, I just left the Coos Forest Protective Association meeting, wildland firefighting and funding. I'm going to be at the fairgrounds tomorrow for the Douglas Forest Protective Association. We just got incredibly good professional people that, we're learning a lot about fires. So sitting on the Emergency Management Committee, that gives me a chance to really be involved there and understand and hopefully do a little bit of leadership in, getting our funding prioritized, Kyle.
What are some of the current legislative projects you're working on?
We're only allowed two bills for the 5-week short session, February through mid-March. And my number one bill is, born alive bill. In other words, if you have a baby and it somehow survives an abortion attempt, then the state of Oregon will take care of that baby and find a home. And it's really catching on in other states. It's not a partisan issue. It's just to save a life. The second one is just to recognize firefighters, the rural fire departments all over Oregon. It's a 75-year anniversary, and so I've been honored to be asked to carry that bill from that very wonderful organization. And then I have a veterans bill that basically I've asked a couple of my veterans friends that serve on that committee to help me with, because I got over my two bills. And that's just a crisis card, which basically is the size of a driver's license, and it lets law enforcement, other first responders know that if a veteran is having a rough time, here's the information, here's the data, and it's primarily to keep, it's not to take the place of law enforcement or to in any way encumber law enforcement officials, but just to let them know that, hey, we can get a crisis team there to help this person who's having a rough time, whether it's PTSD or traumatic brain injury, whatever it is. So we think that bill has a very good chance to pass, too, and a lot of bipartisan momentum going there, Kyle.
So one of the aspects about the short session, it's really was set up originally for basic topics and revamping budgets and making adjustments to things, but it's really grown to much more like a regular session in a lot of ways. What do you see coming from the other side of the aisle?
I'm really I really appreciate you bringing up the budget, because the state of Oregon's starting to feel the pinch that our citizens have felt for the last couple of years, at least emphasizing on the last 18 months or 2.5 years. And so some of the other side is starting to realize that we are spending too much money, and we are spending improperly. You know, fire's number one to me. I think that goes without saying, but it's just fascinating to watch the state kind of feel the pressure that families and businesses have felt for a long time. And so I think that's going to give us a little bit of influence on letting these people know that, hey, why are businesses leaving Oregon? Why is the unemployment rate up? I personally really don't like revenue forecasts, because they're always overstated, and it gives the other side a little bit of false security that, well, we've got more, we can spend more, and it goes towards programs and people that are not pulling the wagon. And so that's why House Bill 3991 did so well in the first 2 weeks and got almost double the signatures that they need. And it's just really a breath of fresh air to see people rise to the level of, hey, we can make an impact. And it's truly democracy at its finest.
Now,
let the people decide.
Having a short session also during an election year probably lends itself to some posturing from both sides of the aisle. Do you think the election itself will impact some of the things that get pushed in the session?
You know, for me in Coos Kareem, Douglas County, and my colleagues, Alex Carlatos, and of course, Virgil Osborne, Boomer Wright in Coos County, you know, I don't see any impact. People are starting to trust us more and more all the time. And, you know, that's priceless personally to us. And so with that trust, you know, we just keep working. We keep our nose down. We feel incredibly fortunate to be in these positions and to fight for Southwest Oregon. Yeah, it's true. Sometimes, you know, I'm in Roseburg or Douglas County all week. I've got at least one meeting every day, important meeting, and most days a couple. excuse me. And so, you know, it's sometimes you look over your shoulder and you think, am I actually campaigning right now because I have to run every 2 years, or am I really doing rep duties? And so it just blends together. And it's just a tremendous privilege.
What about in the election cycle, the potential for the GOP to pick up some more seats?
You know, I think I can't remember for sure the last time I was on. I told you that I'm strong in support. We've got some excellent moderate to conservative candidates, and I'm really strong for Christine Drazen. It's our best chance to take the state back. I'm more optimistic than I've ever been. We lost Dennis Richardson, who won Secretary of State as a Republican in 2024. Very much, you know, a tremendous statesman, and I could talk for an hour about his professionalism and his quality, and I feel the same way about the Republican candidates for governor, but in particular Christine Drazen. She's already raised a lot of money. I've worked with her 3 years in the legislature, and none of us are perfect, but she's tough, and she is honest, and she's getting a little momentum going right now, and I think we'd be very, very fortunate to have her as governor for at least 4 years.
Going to take a break. More when we come back. State Representative Court Boyce, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. State Representative Court Boyce on with us from the 1st District. We were just talking about the governor's race. We've already got a lot of people running, just about, all but really a couple of them, not very well known yet. Do you think we're going to end up with what we had last time around with a very large list of candidates running for governor from both parties and maybe independents and not affiliated ones as well?
You know, I ran for governor. There was 19 on the Republican side. I tell people not to be impressed, but I did finish in the top 11, almost in the top 10. My big issue was fire, and I don't see that changing. But yeah, to your point, there's a lot of interest. A lot of people see our state on decline, a lot of good people both sides, and say, hey, we can make a difference. And so, yeah, it's kind of fascinating, entertaining to watch, Kyle.
What about, though, when it comes down to it, do you see a scenario where our incumbent governor might not run again?
Oh, that's a really good question, because you hear, oh, absolutely, there's no question she won't. And then you hear, boy, I don't know. I feel bad because she's really compromised some leadership positions there. I want to be careful not to be too negative, but the process that she took in this $4.3 billion ODOT funding really was not a good look at all. And so that's why the people have stood up, stood strong, and decided they're just not going to take it. And so I hope that we get to the point where we can put some business people back in office, some pro-family people, some really, I'm not saying the other side's immoral, I'm just saying some really moral people that will fight for our liberties. And I, you know, I mentioned Ed Deal, or I meant to. I'm one of the founders of the Oregon Freedom Coalition. And, I mean, that guy, there's several people, me excluded, there's several people, though, that I'm very familiar with, work with, would be excellent governors and would be not only full-time, but beyond dedicated.
And do you think, I mean, there's some talk, I know that Governor Kotek is doing a lot of fundraising. There has been some talk that she might end up seeking a different office.
Interesting, you know, because she can appoint, the governor can appoint now. I suspect that I get along well with Senator Merkley. We don't agree on a lot, but when he does his town halls in my district, he usually asks me to come and introduce him. And he's been good to, you know, the southwest corner of Oregon. I suspect that he might be planning to run again because he had a lot of seemed to be quite a level of indecisiveness, and I suspect he might remain senator for 2 or 4 years, and then the governor would appoint someone. And I think that really goes against a lot of people not being able to vote and decide on that. That's purely speculation, but I hope that's not the case. I don't know if Tina Kotek could win a state office, or excuse me, a federal office. You know, Oregon, I've just got to be optimistic, Kyle, that it's changing. People are really, and you mentioned a minute ago, the non-affiliated and independent voters, that none of us have the luxury of just shrugging our shoulders and say, well, you know, I'm not going to move, so I'll just take whatever comes. We just don't have that option. We have got to be engaged and involved and put the hard work in.
How do you convince people to run for legislative seats?
Well, the pay is really low, and it's a full-time job, and so you have to do it because you love Oregon and you love America, and you want to, you know, my generation, my grandparents and parents left me a great country. They worked their backsides off, and so I've got 9 grandkids, and I see young families everywhere I go in my district, you know, Brookings all the way to the Douglas County Fairgrounds, and it's really motivating to say, okay, we got trash in the streets, our schools are failing, crime is up, homeless is up, people can't afford to live here, and that's not trying to sound benevolent here, but that's my job, and it's just a tremendous honor. And so those young families and businesses leaving, we gotta fight back.
Let's talk about that aspect of businesses leaving. We've talked before about some company headquarters leaving, though they still have a presence in the state, a number of locations, et cetera. But how do you flip that the opposite direction to where businesses want to come to Oregon, no matter whether they're bigger or smaller?
And therein lies the millions of dollar question, because we rate very low, just like our education system. What's the first thing that people look at, Kyle? They look at the school systems. They look at crime. They look at livability. They look at affordability. And our tax structure is terrible. I'm very much involved with Oregon business and industries. I'm very much involved with National Federation of Independent Business. I get very good rankings and on my voting record there. But that's got to be, I think, even equal to or maybe slightly ahead of the homeless issue is that we have got to change our culture. And Oregon just ranks so low in so many areas. And not only do we want to retain the businesses we have and understand why they're leaving, but we want to recruit, as you said a minute ago. And if we don't understand how critical it is to be able to go toe-to-toe and compete with some of these southeastern states, even Ohio or Indiana, you know, even the Dakotas, you know, we just have to flex our muscles and say, we'll come up with an incentive for you to bring your company here and employ our wonderful Oregonians.
What about for business? What's different on the South Coast and maybe inland areas, even in Southern Oregon?
You know, I got voted in as the chair of the Oregon Coastal Caucus. So, as you probably know, that's 22 incorporated cities. It's 7 counties. It's 29, I think it's 29 or 28 ports. And so that gives me an opportunity to help people understand the diversity of Oregon. I mean, you take the deserts, you take the Cascade Mountain Range, you take, you know, the great rivers we have here, the tourism aspect. So understanding that diversity or trying to learn all you possibly can and putting that, you know, that into perspective for other people to understand, then, you know, we can succeed better in solving problems. And, you know, just our job as legislators is to make people's lives better. And all the people I run with there, they are very determined on that.
For the state of Oregon, you talked about ODOT a while back. What would you do differently with the oversight of that agency and their budget?
Well, both the minority in the Senate and the House come up with on their budget is there was plenty of money, and we found $700 million worth of savings that basically would do away with the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Program, the Green Energy Program that are not working. You probably are aware, Kyle, that, and this is just one example, you know, the Lane County has eliminated their electric buses because they've caught on fire. They're not efficient. It's just, you see, my taxpayers in Southwest Oregon help pay for, help subsidize that mess. And so back to ODOT, if they do their core mission and just go into a two-year holding pattern, I think it was, let's see, might have been Virgil Osborne or David Brock Smith that said, hey, ODOT, clean up your own room, then we'll talk about getting you a new rug or something, you know. But right now, find and prove, and that's, I think that's why Strickler, the head of ODOT for what, 13 years, I think that's why he resigned. You know, he probably knows that there is a much more efficient way to run that program. Control, any business knows you've gotten the two words, control costs. And if you're not good at that, you're going to be wasting valuable resources. And the taxpayers of Oregon, I think, are just had enough of that, and they understand.
As we wrap up, what's on your schedule in the next few days?
Let's see. I mentioned the Douglas Forest Protective. I've got a Douglas Timber Operators meeting tomorrow night. I've got a... Oh, I can't remember, but I've got two or three things every day. I'll send you an email, but just glad to be here. And if people need anything, contact Coach Court, C-O-U-R-T, CoachCourt@gmail.com.
All right, State Representative Court Boyce, 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening. listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.